Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Amen. It is a good morning, isn't it? Even though I'm having a bad hair day, from what I understand. Haven't seen it, so it ain't bothering me any, okay? Oh, praise God. You know, yesterday I mentioned as we were getting started that, you know, your daily bread is being served. And, you know, when we sit here and eat, and many of us have children here, and we watch how children eat sometimes. And they don't always eat the best, do they? But let us not be that way with the Word. You know, I mean, the entire Word is a full course meal. And every day when it is served, everything He serves up is good for you. And so don't be picking and choosing. You just have to steel yourself. Remember that word we had? You know, steel yourself. We have to put on that same mind that Christ had. And a part of that is we're going to determine to partake of it all. And what our flesh thinks about it and what our former notions were about it or any other thing, we're going to get shed of those and determine to eat it because we know it's good for us. Amen? So let's do that. God bless you. I just want to say one thing before I turn the mic over here, and that is, you know what? I know there was a lot of resistance to this group coming together out here. I mean, we had sicknesses and all different kinds of things coming against people, every which way different stuff was. But I want you to know something, and that is, there is nothing more terrifying to the devil than when this group breaks up and goes forth, and he hears those soldiers marching. I'll tell you what, man, he better be far more terrified when we leave this place. Amen. Okay, than he ever was about us coming together here. And that's a determination. I mean, I want you to know something. When the American military, for example, comes marching in with all their firepower, people flee. Okay, now in the kingdom of God, that terror is complete. Absolutely complete. One man, Elisha, captured an entire army that arrived at his doorstep. An entire army that was terrorizing Israel. The people were terrified. One man captured them all by a word. That is the God we serve. And that is what he wants us to march out of here with. Serpents and scorpions under our feet. Amen. Now, there's not a pew warmer. There better not be a pew warmer among us. Because if I remember correctly, Davey was saying, we're going to call different people up here to preach. And you know what? I know ain't nobody going to be afraid of it, right? Because, I mean, we're getting rid of all that fear, right? So ain't anybody in here afraid, are you? I hope not, because if you are, let's get rid of it now. All right? So, we got some folks who are moving forward in the Lord, and we're going to give them a chance and tell us what they got. Come on up here, Scotty. Bishop, that is.
Have you ever been asked to preach? There is. But I came to a realization when you kind of mentioned, hey, Scotty, you ready to get up there and start preaching today? And I went, and then I said, yeah, I guess so. And it was because I came to the realization that somebody had asked me before. His name was Jesus. Amen. He's called all of us to preach. Right? So I quickly went over and, well, started praying. Jeez, I don't. I thought so. I heard somebody tell me that one time, so I said, well, let's give it a shot. And I was trying to figure out, well, geez, you know, what do I know? And, you know, it doesn't matter what I know. And I got to thinking, I said, you know, well, what do I know of him? And I said, well, I wonder what we know. Right? I mean, are we all sinners? Yeah. We know that, right? Are we condemned before we meet Christ? We are, right? So, we're a bunch of sinners that are condemned, and we need some help, right? Do we have somebody there to help us? What's his name? There you go. With him, we can do all things, right? But what do we need to do to get that promise? Believe. Do we believe? I know that we all say that we believe, but do we believe? Well, if we believe and we know these things, do we receive? We should. So if we're not, we need to fix that, right? Now, we know some particular things. Do your coworkers know? Do your brothers know? Your sisters? Your neighbors? And if they don't know, why not? We've all been called to preach. Instant in season. Right? The Lord's been working with me with a lot of things. I haven't done that. Well, I decided I'm going to do it. So it doesn't matter that I didn't do it. Because I'm going to do it now. And I hope that all of y'all do it with me.
Brad, where's Brad? Oh, there he is. Okay. Brad, you get up here. One thing, you know, we were singing that song, that new song. I got some of the words at any rate while we were doing it. But one of the words I got is it was talking about stir up a hunger. Is that what I heard? And, you know, one of the things I want you to understand is that, yeah, I mean, every single one of us lack, right? I mean, we all lack. And we all look at things in the world and we go, gosh, I wish I could do that. So that means we lack, right? So what do you do about it? Oh, I lack. I can't do that. No, you ask. You ask. You don't sit back there and go, oh, my God, I can't ever do that. No. That's not how you win. You lose that way. You win because you ask and you believe and you receive and you go forward in it. And then you ask again because you go, kind of lacking again over there. I look at what that mark is, and then I look at me and I go, not a pretty sight. You know, you got these grimacings and kind of goes through your whole body. You're like, but, you know, what do you do about it? You choose again to fight. You choose again to believe. You choose again to cast off what's happened in the past. Who cares what's happened in the past? It ain't going to change your present. You know what I mean? All you can deal with what's right before you right now. And if you lack anything, ask and receive and go forward in. Because he will indeed supply all you need to do what his word tells you to do. And then one other thing I would just say on what Scotty was talking about, look, we read in the scripture, we got that guy, the Gadarene demoniac. Okay, this is the Gadarene demoniac, and I don't think it describes anybody here that I've seen, but I didn't know all of you before, so maybe one of you are like the Gadarene demoniac. But the Gadarene demoniac, of course, I mean, where was he? He was dwelling in the tombs, and they had tried to chain him, and he'd throw himself in the fire, and he was naked. I mean, is that usually when we think of a person? Yeah, he's a likely candidate to be a minister of the Lord. And yet the very same day he was delivered, he was clothed, and he was commissioned. And you know what? He was an extraordinarily effective minister because God and the Lord told him just to do one thing. Go tell the people what great things God has done for you. Now we got Jean over here. She's been telling people what great things God has done for her. Now her daughter's reading the word with her. Right? Okay. And do you feel like super spiritual and super capable to read the word with your daughter? And your sister, when you told her about it, she asked me a question I didn't know the answer to. Oh my God, what do I do? Her sister said, write it down and ask me. Oh my God. I mean, are you guys capable of doing that? Amen. Anybody here can't write yet, besides the littlest ones? Anybody here can't write, can't spell their name? You know I mean? So, you can do that. And you know what? It works. It's an amazing thing. You don't have to have any fear. You don't have to have it. And the fact that you will grow, praise God. It's just how it works. Here you go, Brad.
There's probably only one thing I really know that the Lord showed me. He showed me a lot of things, but by way of revelation, which is the one thing that you can only know from God, and that is that Jesus is, in fact, God. The only thing that you can possibly know, the only way you can possibly know that Jesus Christ is God is by the revelation of God himself. When the apostles were hanging around, they said, Jesus said, well, who do men say that I am? Oh, well, you're Elijah. You're John the Baptist. Those neural synapses firing behind your eyeballs, there's something more going on there than that. And he said, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you're the Christ of God. And Christ's response to Peter was, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. You see, the only way you can know that Jesus is God is if it's been revealed to you. If you understand that there is one God, that he is Jehovah, Yahweh, the great I am, and that that one God walked this earth as Jesus Christ, then that's a great point to rejoice in, right? Because you can't, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. It's the final revelation of God. He told Moses, Moses said, well, who will I say sent me? Well, the I am. Tell him the I am sent you. And then you see, as time goes by, he's Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace, the God of love, and on and on, many names for God. But the final revelation of God is the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jehovah, Yah, Shua, Jehovah who saves us. And I bring this up a lot in South Carolina because it hits me deep. When the angel went to Joseph before Christ was born, he said, when this boy is born, you call him Jesus, Jehovah who saves, because he will save his people from their sins. That's us. You know, and it's easy to look around in the world and see all the sin. And truthfully, if you have truth within you, you can look inside and see how deficient you are and how sin holds you. But you don't have to stay in it, because he is the God who saves. He is the Redeemer. He is the Redeemer kinsman. That righteousness you wear is his righteousness. And I can't go into all this too deep because I don't understand it well enough to explain it, but I understand it well enough to experience it. I know that before God, you can stand as a righteous and holy person. You. Not to say that you aren't less than within, but before God, using the faith that he gave you, exercising the desires that he put within you, you stand before him as righteous. You wear the robe of Christ's righteousness. And that's really what I wanted to say, Steve, if that's all right. He said, don't be afraid getting up here. I preach like Thursday nights, and I'm all sweaty now. Thanks, y'all.
Oh, praise God. One thing, the name of God is Jesus. There's only one name. He has no other name. His name is not all these other things. It's just Jesus. And I want you to understand, when he came, you know what he came as? Man. He didn't come as God. I want you to understand that. See, this is why you can do all the things that Christ did, is because he didn't come as God, he came as man. And so anything he did, you can do also. Yea, far greater things than he did can you do also. Because it's the same Father, the same Holy Spirit that works in you. So I just want you to understand that. Now, Ricky, your turn.
It's a blessing and a privilege to be able to come up here and share. I don't often get that, so thank God for it. You know, there was a time not too long ago where if you got all of us together, there weren't a lot of preachers here. There weren't a lot of people that could get up and share much of anything. But look now. Look now. Look at what God has done in all of us and is doing in all of us. And we're not perfect. We're not wrapped too tight. We don't know everything. But we're learning to know Jesus. And what else do you need? I mean, what else do you need to get up and tell people about the good things God has done for you? What more do you need? You don't need anything else. You really don't. And you can do that. Even Edmund. Edmund, you know, hey man, did you ever think you'd be here this long? No. Neither did I. But that's the patience and goodness of God. I mean, that's God's hand reaching down into your family, into your life, and touching you because he loves you. And I bet you there wasn't a lot of people that loved you. I bet you there weren't a lot of people that really cared about you as you. They may care about what you could do for them. They may care that you could swing a hammer, or that, you know, they may care you race go-karts. They may care about a lot of things, but I don't know about a lot of people that cared about you and loved you. And he's not the only one. I remember meeting John, sitting around a table at George Gruner's house when he was living in the basement, peeing in buckets. I'm telling on you. And Jesus reached out and loved you. You know, my wife, Megan. Halfway around the world. And Jesus reached out and loved you. I mean, isn't that what it's about? Robin, you've been around a long time. And God loved you then and has loved you all through it. Even in the rough times, even in the hard times. I think of the story of the Good Samaritan. We've talked a little bit about that. And the thing is that we're called to do is Jesus loved us, right? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for who? The ungodly. And it says he commended his love toward us. Do you know that means he stood with us, sort of like vouching for us, okay? When there was nothing redeemable in us, but yet he stood with us. And as you read that story about the Good Samaritan, he finds a guy on the side of the road that was beat up, and his is really his enemy. I mean, if they had met on any other day, the guy that was that had fallen among the thieves probably wouldn't have even spoken to that Samaritan, right? But he was in a place where he had no choice but to receive the help. And that's, you know, that's when Jesus has come to us. And he takes that which is his enemy, and he binds up our wounds. He takes us to the innkeeper, pays the price, and then he says this. He says, I'm coming back, and if there's anything anything lacking, I'll cover it. Don't worry about it. You know, and the cool thing at the end of that story, when it's all said and done and we find out who our neighbor is, he turns to that guy that was seeking to justify himself, and he says what? You go do likewise. And that's the Great Commission. You go do likewise. I can look around and see all these people where Jesus has reached into their hearts and loved them. Loved you, loved your family, loved your children. And what he asks of us is to take that love and love other people. And I know we can... And Sue and I were talking a little bit about this. We can look and go, we can look backwards and see all the times we haven't loved, right? And that can bring tears to our eyes. That can bring a sorrowness to our heart. But that has to end. And it has to become that which motivates us to not let it happen again. Amen? Because you can get fixated on what you didn't do. You can get fixated on all the mistakes and all the shortcomings. But that's just as bad as not doing it in the first place. We set those things which are behind and we press on towards the mark of the high calling of God. We forget those things. Because if God's forgiven us, guess what? We're forgiven. We can use those as a motivation to be different. And remember, we don't want to be there again. So as we were looking at that verse that Phil shared and Steve talked on, and Peter... I do this one-handed here. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And that's where we are. Amen? Amen. Old is gone. We have the rest of our time to show people the love of Christ that he showed us. I'm done, Steve.
I just wanted to say one word before I turned it over to Richard, and that is, you know, Edmund, somebody loved you. And you want me to tell you who I know loved you? You have a little son named Edmund. And... But we were doing that revival down in South Carolina back when Joseph died 4 or 5 years ago, whenever that was. This little boy came up to me. And you remember, Edmund? You remember coming up to me? Well, he doesn't remember. I remember. Edmund came up to me, and he said, "Will you pray for my daddy?" And what can we say? You know, what God is able to do, it's an amazing thing. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Boy, I messed this up. Really messed it up. We'll go to chapter 5 of Galatians. Then we're going to bounce over to Ephesians. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. See, what has been holding most of you back from walking in the joy and the power of the Lord is the bondage of trying to be worthy of God. The book of Galatians, or the letter Paul wrote to the Galatians, concerned how the Galatians had fallen away from faith by trying to be righteous under the law. Some people had come in and perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ, and got them to believing that now that they had believed in Christ, they had to keep these rules and regulations and these feasts and all this other stuff, or they couldn't be saved. And it put them under a bondage. And that when they were under that bondage, the grace of God was pulled off of them. Now, the grace of God is a cool thing. And we've talked about the grace of God quite a bit in this ministry. And a lot of the stuff we've talked about the grace of God is how it deals with removing sin and covering us in our inadequacies. Amen? But what we haven't talked a lot about is how the grace of God releases you to walk in the power of God. It's the key that unlocks the jail cell. The cell of sin and fear and worry and mental anguish and torment and all the garbage that we try to carry around with us because we're too stupid to turn it loose. I get a vision in my head as I'm speaking of a bunch of baboons trying to grab the nut out of the jar. And they won't turn the nut loose. And they're hanging on to that nut with everything they've got. And they're too stupid to realize the jar is tied to a rope, tied to a tree. And here come the hunters. And the hunters are going to take the baboons, but the baboon just won't turn loose of that thing. And because he can't turn loose of it, he's stuck. And they get captured. They get slaughtered. They get eaten. And when you hold on to your sin from the past, when you hold on to your life from the past, when you hold on to all that you were before, you're like that baboon with his hand in a jar holding the nut, and the nut ain't really what you're holding, it's the nut holding the nut. Amen, Brother Davey. That was pretty good. All right, now, let's go to Ephesians. I wanted to say that to kind of set the stage. Paul preaching to the Ephesians, and Ephesians chapter 1 is a cool chapter. And I'm not going to go into the predestinated stuff today. I'm not going to go into that. But what I want to go down to is after Paul made his point in his case about the apostles and the prophets being predestinated of God, and then how the seed of Adam could believe when the gospel was brought to them, he comes along and says, verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith, this is all them of the seed of Adam, in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mentions of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Now stop and think about that a minute. The apostles were given the revelation of Christ. Prophets were given the revelations of God. But here, Paul is saying, he's praying that you can have it. How are you going to have it? By standing strong in the grace. By standing strong in faith. By coming out of that bondage. Amen? Not just the revelation of the knowledge of them, but the spirit of wisdom. What a cool thing. I could be like Robin and Steve and say, it's a beautiful thing. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now here's what I want to get down to, because this is the cool part. The rest is neat. This is cool. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? Say what? What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? That even includes Gale. Amen? Let's see how great that power is. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Are you part of the church? Then if nothing else, you're part of the feet. And that means all things are under you. He has raised Christ up by his power and by his might. He has raised Christ up into the heavenlies and placed his name above all things that is and ever was and ever will be and ever could be, should be, or want to be. He has raised Christ up and made him to sit at his right hand and given him all power and authority, and he's got you in Christ. And if you be in Christ, you be part of the body, and there is nothing that can come against you if you will be free from the bondage of yourself. Free from the bondage of yourself. Free from sickness. Free from disease. Free from all kinds of stuff. Amen. And it doesn't mean you won't have to battle. You got to battle. I know there was a while back, I'm down there in my cabin, I got hit. I got hit by pain. It put me down. I could hardly breathe. And I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what's going on here? I had a feeling I knew what it was, but I wasn't quite sure. And, yeah, I went to the hospital, and I had it checked out. And my fears were realized that I had kidney stones. Kidney stones aren't fun. Big rocks trying to go through little places they don't belong in. Capiche? And they wanted me to go to some specialist that charged $600 just to say, hi, how you doing? Well, I can tell you how I'm doing. I wasn't going to waste $600 on a specialist to tell me what the other one already told me. So I came home, and I prayed, and I began to battle, and I began to believe, and I began to trust God. And, yeah, I did some stuff I should have done before. And you know what? It hadn't happened to me again. I found out here in Texas, you got to drink a lot of water. I've never been one to drink water. Coffee. Sip coffee all day long. Y'all remember that, right? Come in the morning, here I am with a cup of coffee. 9 o'clock at night, here I am with a cup of coffee. Or a Coke or something. Water? Yeah. Who wants water? And yet, water is that pure thing that God gave us. So I started drinking water. And when I start feeling the attack come on, I pray and drink water. And it goes away. Because I'm set free of it. I'm going to be set completely free, so there will be no more attack coming on. You got to stop hoping God will heal you. See? How many know God can heal you? See, that's an easy one. How many people believe God can heal the person next to you? How many of you believe that God would want to heal the person next to you before he'd want to heal you? I fit in that category. But we've got to change our way of thinking and come to that place where we are set free from the bondage of the law, free from the bondage of condemnation, free from the bondage of sin, free from the bondage of lies and deceit and terror and fear, and begin to walk as those feet, if you will, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as part of his body. Then you can go over to John chapter 1 and read where it says, and as many as believe on him, Jesus, gave he them power to become the sons of God. And the sons of God there are his angels. Because he is putting together an army, and it is an army that is going to be greater than the one that deserted him. Lucifer left him and took all his army with him. But God has been raising up a new army, and this army is going to be greater than the first army. You know why it's greater than the first? Do you know why it's greater? Because that first army never knew what it was to be lost. The first army was a created army. The first army was a created army that knew God from their beginning. Didn't know what sin was. Didn't know what struggle was. Didn't know what salvation was. Didn't know how the great, 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 great love of God is. They did not know. But we know. We know the love of God. We know the greatness of God. We know the mercies of God. We know His grace. We know His love because He died on a cross for us. And God, through His power, raised Him up from the dead and put Him up in the heavenlies, and we are in the heavenlies with Him. And you got to get that mindset. You got to get that understanding. You got to get your brain working. You got to get the brain working with the soul, working with the spirit. So you're not looking at the flesh anymore. You're looking at the spirit. The flesh comes and says, you can't do it. The spirit says, you can. Which one are you going to choose? Spirit. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. All things. Because I walk in the power of God that resurrected the Christ from the ground. Amen. And you do too. Amen. Believe it. Yes. Believe it. And you will become that army. And we will return with Christ at the end in the Battle of Armageddon. And we will take down the armies of Satan. And we will take down the armies of the Antichrist. And we will glorify God. And we will glorify the Christ that leads us by the Spirit and the sword of His Word. Amen. And a good soldier trains. And a good soldier learns. And a good soldier hardens. And a good soldier focuses on the task at hand. And our task at hand is to take his sword and learn how to use it. Amen. It's to take his sword. You can't just go like that, beating in the air with it. You're going to get killed. And yet I see it happen all the time. When I was young in the Lord, I'd put on the armor of God thinking I was a hot shot, man. And I'd get me the sword. I'd say, okay, I'm ready, man. I had no clue how to use that sword. Then one day the Lord kind of showed me Jesus in the temptation. When Satan said, you're hungry, boy. Oh, you're the son of God. Go ahead and turn this bread into these stones into bread. Jesus took the sword and cut him with it. It is written, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. See, that's how you use a sword. Satan attacks, you take the word and attack back. To the point. To the point. Took him on a high pinnacle of the temple. Told him, cast yourself down if you be the Son of God. For it is written that he will put his angels in charge over thee, lest thou durst thy foot upon a stone. Satan thought he was being smart. I got you now, man. I got you now. You want to use the word against me? I'll use it right back at you. The devil will use the word at you, you know. You better know the context. You better know how it's used. Jesus come right back. He said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Wow, that hurt. So he tried one more area. Pride took him up on top of the mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Said, these are mine to give to whomsoever I will. And I'll give them to you. You can have them if you'll bow down and worship me. Jesus didn't buy that. He went right back with the word. Right back with the word. Put no other God before me. Amen. You got to learn to use the word. You got to learn to use that sword. Learn to use the shield of faith that quenches the fiery darts of the devil. What is that faith? It's that what baptism. It's that baptism of water. Water quenches fire. Amen. That shield of faith is that water baptism. And when the devil comes at you and says that you're no good, say, wait a minute. I've been buried in the water and brought back up alive. You can't touch me. That helmet of salvation, when he tries to come against your brain and come against your head, that helmet of salvation, wait a minute, I got salvation covering me. You understand what I'm saying? Breastplate of righteousness, which is the righteousness of God himself. Not my righteousness, his righteousness. You're not going to penetrate that. Loins girt about with truth. And that girt about with truth is great, because then you don't have to worry about your pants falling down and getting embarrassed. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Always ready to preach the gospel. Always ready to tell somebody Jesus Christ loves you and died for you. Jesus Christ is on your side if you will follow him. Not like this other one that says he's on your side no matter what. He's on your side if you follow him. If you claim him and believe him and seek him, then yes, he's on your side. You got to get on his side first. And to get on his side is to accept what he says. So let's get free of the bondage. Let's get free of the bondage. Get free of the fear. And the biggest fear of all that we face, oh gee, if I join this weird group, other people think I'm nuts. Well, just put a planter sign on your forehead and go around and laugh. Who cares? Who really cares? I would rather man think that I'm crazy and think that I'm nuts and think I'm an idiot than have God think that. Man can't put me into hell. God can. So it really doesn't matter what man thinks of me. It really doesn't matter what you think of me. It matters what God thinks of me. Now, let me change one thing. It matters for you what you think of me. But it doesn't matter for me what you think of me. Amen? And you get out there and you start working. And you start believing, and you start shedding off that unbelief, and you're going to see the power and confidence of the Lord rise up in you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm done.